Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Zayin. We are two lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Vav Amid Beis. So we're in the midst of a digression. We're learning Perakol Abasa, which discusses the halachis of Basa V'chala, but the Gemara digressed into halachis of Netilas Yadayim. Why? Because one of the things you have to do if you want to eat milachiks and then immediately eat fleshiks is wash your hands, regardless, because there was a mention of Netilas Yadayim. The Gemara digressed to other halachas of Netilas Yadayim. And on that note, some more interesting halacha l'maisa. Amar Rav, a person could wash his hands in the morning, umasna aleihem kolayim kuloi, and make a tenai, stipulate, and say that I want this Netilas Yadayim to work for the entire day. So the person says that rather than washing my hands when I eat breakfast, and then washing my hands again when I have my tuna sandwich for lunch, and then again for supper, I'm going to wash my hands once in the morning, and I want that Netilas Yadayim to work for the entire day. So said Rav, surprisingly, that it works. As long as he stipulates it, as long as he makes a tenai and he says that I want this Netilas Yadayim, that I am washing my hands in the morning to work for the entire day, it works. Now you have to read the fine print, literally. Rashi says, you have to be careful during the course of the day to make sure that you don't make your hands dirty and that your hands don't touch an area that would otherwise make it tummy. But if you're able to be careful, we trust you, and from a pure Hilchas Netilas Yadayim perspective, this tenai that you made in the morning is going to work. Rav Avinu told the people that lived in this kihilo, people like you, who don't have a lot of water, I'll give you an idea. Wash your hands in the morning and make it tonight that it should work for the entire day. Says the Gemara, that the reason Rav Avinu issued this psak was like he said, because these people just simply didn't have a lot of water. Meaning it was b'shas adchak. So as a shas adchak, he allowed this to happen. And if that's the case, he's arguing with Rav. Because from Rav's statement, it sounded like this is something you could do like l'katchilo. What did Rav say? Noitel adam ashtei yadav shachris umasna aleim kol yom kuloi. It didn't sound like from Rav that he only said his halacha b'shas adchak. If Rav Avinu only issued his psak to the people living in this kehila because they were leishchichi lehumaya, although it's the same psak, but if you go a little deeper into it, he's actually arguing with Rav because he needed it to be a shas adchak. But the Ikad Ami, there were others that had a different version in Rav Avinu's halacha, and they said afilu shaloish b'shas adchak nami, that it's okay to do even shalei b'shas adchak. And if that's the case, v'hainu d'rab, will come back to this a little bit later. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, hay ariso didaloi ein noitle mimenu liyodayim. So Rav Papa said a few halachas that involved the same context. And that is, there was somebody that had a canal of water, took a pail, put it into the canal of water, and he was pouring it into another body of water. The question is, can someone now put his hands in that other body of water from where water is coming via this pail and wash his hands? So really, there's two shailas. We discussed yesterday that in order for a person to purify his hands, he can either do Netilas Yadayim, which is the more tangible, conventional means, or he could do Netilas Yadayim. Netilas Yadayim is, you take a Netilas Yadayim cup and you wash your hands. Tefilas Yadayim is you would treat it like a mikvah, but instead of immersing your entire body in the mikvah, all you're doing is you're immersing your hands in the mikvah. So said Rav Papa that if somebody goes and he takes a keli, he takes a pail, and he takes water from a canal, and he now pours it into this other body of water, you cannot go into that other body of water and use it to wash your hands. And it doesn't work for Netilas Yadayim, it doesn't work for Tefilas Yadayim. Let's work backwards. It doesn't work for Tefilas Yadayim because it's not a mikvah memsah. The only time you could do Tefilas Yadayim is if it's a mikvah that you'd be able to be metar your entire guf. If somebody was a zavar, a nida, yeladas, would he or she be able to be metar herself from her tumah deraisa in this mikvah? If the answer is no, then you can't do tefilas yadayim in that mikvah either. The question is, maybe it should work mitzad netilas yadayim. How so? Netilas Yadayim means you take a cup, you pour the water on you. So even though you yourself didn't do that, but maybe the koyach gavra of the person who put the pail in the canal and now moved it into this body of water, even though he didn't do it directly on your hands, you put your hands into the water, but maybe being that the water got to this body of water via a netila, maybe that netila is mitzarif to you putting your hands in the water, and it's as if you did a netila sidai. So it's true for tefila sidai, you need a regular mikvah of Arba Amsa, and that you don't have over here. But maybe it works from a netila sidai perspective. So Rav Papa said that doesn't either work. And the reason is, because although it's true there was an act of netila, but that act of netila came to an end as soon as the water landed in this new pond, in this new body of water. At that point that you put your water, your hands into the water, it's not coming anymore. Mikayich gavra. That's why it doesn't work. Says the Gemara. But Rav Papa continued. He said, "If mikrav the gabi dula the kaasu mikayich gavra noit mentally a dime." If, however, this person put his hands right next to where the pail dumped the water, and at mamish at that time, so though the netilas dime didn't happen directly onto this person's hands, but it was in close proximity enough that you can deem it that mikayich gavra, the water ended up on this person's hands. That would be enough in order for it to be okay. Rav Papa said a final halacha, v'i bozia dula b'koines mashka melef life yumatul ba'asa yadayim. If the pail had holes in it, and the pail was taken from a canal and put into another body of water, and the holes were so big that not only can water seep out of it, but water could actually seep into the pail. That's considered a sheer chashev as it relates to laws of Tumah V'Taira. But the point is if there's holes in it, then we say that the pail connects the water of the canal into this new body of water that he's putting water into, and then a person would be able to be toivel asayadayim in that body of water. Because even though, in order to be toivel asayadayim, you need a mikvah varbamsa, and in this case, you didn't have a mikvah varbamsa, but the pail itself is able to be mechaber, the kosher mikvah, this canal, to this other body of water. The bottom line is, said Rapop, in that case it would work, not mitzad netila asayadayim. Because for that you need koyach garva, you don't have koyach garva. But in that case, it would work mitzad tefilas yadayim. Omer Rava said klisha nika b'koines mashke in noit b'mele yadayim. Any keli that has a hole in it that's so big that water can come through it, it's not kosher for tefilas yadayim. I mean, it has to be a keli. If the hole is big that water is seeping out, it could still be kosher. But if it's so big that if you put it into water, water would be able to go into it, that's a bigger hole. In that case, it's not kosher for tefilas yadayim anymore. Omer Rava said klisha in b'revias in noit b'mele yadayim. A keli that doesn't have a revias of water in it, you can't use finatil sidaim. Freak the Gemara, is that true? Ain't even my rubber. Cliche master grievous in the million dime. A clue that doesn't contain a revias, ain't right with mano. What's the stira? Hamachzik, it sounds like that if it can contain a revias, afal gafta lespe, even if it doesn't have a revias, it's going to be kosher. So Rava said two halachas, which at first glance seem to be the same halacha. But if you look at it a little bit more carefully, it's actually a stira, and that's the Gemara's kasha. Rava's first halacha was, it's a very important halacha, klisha im by revias, ain't noitim imenul yadayim. That if you don't have a revias of water in your netilas yadayim cup, you can't use a netilas yadayim. You have to physically have a revias of netilas yadayim. The stira is that Rava said klisha im machzik revias. Again, it's revias. So at first glance, it sounds like maybe it's the same row, but it's not. Because if you look more carefully, what he's saying is the kli has to contain in it, or has to have the ability to contain in it. Or as long as it's a big, it's a shear in the kli, not a shear in how much water you have to have. In fact, it sounds like hamachzik afagaf d'lesle. So we understand that shear in the tilas yadayim is associated with revias. But what do you need a revias? You need a revias of water? Or do you need that the keli should be machzik revias, even if you don't have a revias of water? Rava said both. It's a stira. For one person, you need a revias. But if two people are going to use the same netilas yadayim cup to wash their hands, the second person doesn't have to have a full revias of water, and as long as the keli is machzik netilas revias, that in itself would be enough. Tanya, learned to the brayse, may revias noitin yadayim leechod v'afilu lishnayim. Very big chiddush. So you do need a revias, but that's only if one person is washing his hands. There's a special chiddush, as the Gemara is going to clarify now, that if a second person is washing his hands, he can use the remainder, the shirayim of the revias of the first person, it's going to be okay. So you're right. The initial netilas yadayim has to be from a kli that's machzik revias. It's a shear in the keli. And you also have to physically have a revias of water. But if a second person wants to use that same exact keli that a first person already used, so he's going to be using the shirayim of water that the first person used, even if he doesn't have a revias on his own, the halach is it's going to be okay. Amalei Rav Sheshes la Meimer. Kaptiswa. Amalei Rav Sheshes wants to ask the Meimer, are you makpid on a keli? I'm going to let you in. He said, achazusa? He said, are you makbid that the water that's used should look like water? I'm going to let you in. Ashiura? He said, are you makbid on the sheer revius? I'm going to let you in. He said, yeah, absolutely. He's makbid on all three of these things. Some say, hachi, I'm going to that the conversation went a little bit differently. He asked him, amana, are you makbid on amana? Rashi says that it should be a kli shalim. Vachazusa, are you makbid that the water should look like water? He said, yeah, kabdina. Ashiura, but he said, as it relates to the sheer revius, like kabdina. Tanya went to the price, and they revius, not only a time left. Because you see that you can use a revius even for two people. So if you use a revius for two people, obviously they both didn't have a revius, right? They obviously both had less than a revius. So if that's the case, you see from here that you don't need a revius. But the Gemara says, Valohi, Amemar was incorrect for proving that from this braisa, because Shani Hasam from the Gosim is Yare Tairo. Avada, there's a din revius, but there's also a special chiddush that the shirayim of revius works. Either way, a very interesting chiddush halacha. You need a revius of water for netilas yadayim, but if two people are going to use the same cup, the second person doesn't need a revius because he can rely on the shirayim of the original revius. Says the Gemara, asking Rav Yaakov in our pocket, natla bas revius. Rav Yaakov in our pocket, he had a keli that was a revius, and he would use it as an example of what a revius is. So people would come, and they would bring their netilas yadayim cups, and they would measure it up against what Rav Yaakov the Nahar Pakud had, and if it matched, then they knew if it was a revius. If it was smaller, it wasn't a revius. Asking Rav Ashi, b'hutsu kuzabas revius. Rav Ashi did the same thing with a kuz. That's an earthenware keli. Bama Rava. Rava said, megufas chavis, if somebody takes the cover of a chavis, of a cask, and he modifies it in a way where you can now use it for netilas yadayim. So usually the cover of a cask is flat, but he shaped it in a way, he fashioned it in a way where now it has a receptacle, so you can use it for netilas yadayim. So is it okay or is it not okay? So Rava said, noitim el yadayim, it's kosh. Tayin amihachim, gufas chavash hatiknon, noitim el yadayim, it's a furish abraisa. The braisa continues and says, chemes u'kfisha hatiknon. If somebody takes a chemes or a kfisha, so these were bottles that were made out of oil, Rashi says, they were made out of liquid, and you fashioned it it's in a way now that you could put water in it. So Allah is like the man of Yodayim, it's kosher. Sack for kupa. If someone, however, takes a sack or a basket, afa pisha mekablim, even if there too you modify it in a way where it can now hold water, ain't like the man of Yodayim, it's not going to be okay. Iboilu, ma'ulecha b'mapa. What's the halacha? If somebody wants to eat bread, not wash his hands, but he's not going to touch the bread, so he's going to eat it with a mapa, there's going to be some cloth that's going to be separating his hands from the food that he's eating. Is it okay or is it not okay? Now, at first glance, you would say maybe it should be okay. Because the whole issue of why you wash your hands before you eat is mishum srach truma. I mean, the Gemara gave two reasons. But the primary reason seems to be mishum srach truma. Because hands are considered sheni latoma. Once upon a time, people ate truma. When people ate truma, if you would eat truma with hands that are sheni l'tuma, you'd be metame the truma, because a sheni is oisa shlishi b'truma. As a result, for the oichle truma, we didn't want them to get confused and say the chulin you could eat without washing your hands. But the truma, being that your hands are sheni l'tuma, that you have to wash your hands before you eat, because it's going to get confusing. So they said the kehanim should wash their hands even before they eat chulin, because sometimes they eat truma. And then they took it even a step further and said that everybody should wash their hands before they eat chulin. Well, everybody, and nobody eats. Maybe only the kehanim. They said no. And this should be true for everybody. But the point is that the reason you wash your hands before you eat bread is related to the fact that your hands are tame, and when you touch the bread, you're being metame the hands, even though you're not, because it's chulin. But if it was truma, it would, and the Chachamim made a gzeira. So the question is, if somebody's going to eat bread, he's not going to touch it. So ma'ulecha b'mapa, michashim domanaga ulai. So do you say that we're concerned that even though there's a mapa, but maybe by mistake he's going to touch, or we're not concerned that he's going to touch? Gemara Toshmak, Shnasla, the Rav Tzadik, Eicha Bachs Mikzayis. This is a Mishnah Mesech de Sukkah. And the Mishnah over there discusses the Talmid of Beishami, so they came to visit Rav Tzadik. And when they saw Rav Tzadik, he was eating outside of a sukkah, pachos mikabeya. He was eating a very small share. It was less than the size of a beya. Noitloi b'mapa. He didn't wash his hands, but he held the bread that he was eating in a mapa. Va'uchle chutz l'sukkah. Ve'im avarach achram. And he did a bench birchas hamazon. Says the Gemara, my love hagabeya b'yom t'ilas adam. It sounds like, why was he holding it with a mapa? Because he wasn't going to wash. But it sounds also then like The reason he ate pachis mikabeya was because only pachis mikabeya could you eat bread with a mappa without washing. But if it would have been a shirbeya, even though he was holding it with a mappa, it sounds like he would have had to wash his hands. So even though it sounds like Reb Tzadik did the tzadakula, it says, oh, he just held it with a mappa. He didn't wash his hands. So you see, it's okay to eat bread without washing your hands as long as you don't touch the bread. But the Gemara is being right just the opposite. Because the Gemara is saying that it sounds like Rav Tzadik only did it for a pachas mikaveya. It sounds like had it been a beya, then maybe it wouldn't have been okay. So let's prove from here, l'chumra, that you're not allowed to eat bread without washing your hands, even if you're not going to touch the bread. But the Gemara says, Doma hakabeya, ba yisuka ba yibracha. How do you know? Maybe the reason he ate pachas mikaveya had nothing to do with washing his hands. Maybe he would have washed his hands. That's not a big deal. Maybe he didn't have to wash his hands, being that he had a mappa, even if it was going to be more than a kebeya. Why then did he eat pachas mikabeya? There's a few reasons. I'm always outside of a sukkah. So outside of a sukkah, Reb Tzadik held, he could eat pachas mikabeya. Additionally, he didn't want a bench. So, bayu brachi, he would have required brichas hamazon. So it could be the reason that the Mishnah emphasizes the bay is not related to the netilas yadayim component of the Mishnah, but it's related to the hilchas sukkah component and to the hilchas brichas hamazon. So again, the question is somebody allowed to eat bread without washing his hands if he doesn't touch the bread? Tashma de Shmuel Ashkechel Rav Dika Achel B'Mapo. Shmuel met Rav and he found that he was eating bread. His hands were wrapped in this mapa, in this cloth, and he didn't wash his hands. Amalei Avdin Kodein. Is this okay? Meaning Shmuel assumed for sure the reason Rav was doing this, he didn't wash his hands. I mean, why was he so machbe not to touch the bread? Presumably because he didn't wash his hands, which then means that Rav holds it's okay to eat bread without washing your hands as long as you don't touch the bread. And Shmuel was very taken aback. He said, is that halacha? So he told him back, Amalei Daitik Tzara Lai. It has nothing to do with halacha. It's not, I wash my hands. He said, why didn't you touch the bread if you wash your hands? He said, I'm a little bit of an istinus. I'm a little bit of a mafunik. I don't want to touch the bread. But really, it's not because of the fact that I didn't wash my hands, and I hold that if you don't wash your hands, it's okay to be samech on that. No. I wash my hands. It's all like Reb Zeira, where Reb Zeira came from Bavel Teretz. He met Reb Ami, Reb Asi, and they were eating bread, and they had worn out skin bottles wrapped around their hands. Omar. So he said, Reb Zeira, wow, he was very taken aback, meaning that being soymech on this kula, that they didn't wash their hands, presumably, and that's the reason that they're wrapping their hands. But the point is, it's okay to eat bread without washing your hands, as long as you don't touch the bread. So Amas Reb Zeira said, "Trei Gavri Rabbi Kavosaychu Litu B'Derav and Shmuel." He goes, "I'm assuming the reason you're doing this because you heard this Messiah of Rav and Shmuel that happened above all, right?" So Reb Zeira comes to Eretz Yisrael. He meets Rav Ami and Rav Asi. These are Reb Yechon's great talmidim, and he sees that they're being soymich on this kula where they're eating bread, as long as they don't touch it, without netilas yadayim. So he said, I'm assuming you're doing it because you probably heard this story that happened in Bavel. So Reb Zeira was from Bavel. So you probably heard this maisa that happened in Bavel with Rav and Shmuel, that Rav used to eat bread without touching it. And you're assuming, oh, probably because he didn't wash netilas yadayim. And as long as you don't touch it, it's okay. So that's not pshat in the maisa. There's the rest of that story where Rav told Shmuel specifically that he did wash his hands when that used to happen. And the reason Rav would do that is simply because he was a mafunik. He didn't want to touch the bread. But the point is Reb Zeira thought that Rav Ami and Rav Asi were basing their halakula on a maisa shahoya kachoya in Bavel that they just didn't really understand because they weren't from Bavel. So Reb Zeira is clarifying the story that happened in Bavel to Rav Ami and Rav Asi. But the Gemara says, Ishtamitze. But really, this whole exchange was a toast. Reb Zeira made a mistake because Rav Tachliva Bar Avimi said in the name of Shmuel that even though Shmuel was upset at Rav initially when he saw him eating bread, you know, without touching it, based on the assumption that as long as you don't touch the bread, it's okay, Shmuel himself said, "Etiru mapa lo ichle trumov, etiru mapa lo ichle tahiris," that people that are oichle truma, also known as kaihanim, they're allowed to use the mapa. It's only oichle tahiris. It's only people that are nizer to eat chulam b'tahira, non-kayhanim. But kayhanim are allowed to use the truma. What's the reason? The reason is because kayhanim is reason hand. And when it comes to kayhanim, we're not concerned they're going to touch it. Meaning, really, if we know for sure you're not going to touch the bread, it sounds like it would be okay. It's just that we're concerned that maybe you are going to touch the bread. Kayhanim is reason hand. So for ichle truma, it actually works. So what does that have to do with this story? Rav Ami Rav Asi kayhanim have. Rav Ami Rav Asi were both kayhanim. I mean, they were both kayhanim. For them, it actually works. Rav Ami Rav Asi were allowed to eat bread without touching it. It was something that was going to be okay. What if somebody's feeding somebody else? So the person eating the bread is not actually touching the bread. He's being fed. So does he have to wash his hands or does he not have to wash his hands? Meaning when you're eating it, you just have a mapa, so maybe there's a chash to managa. But here, you're not even feeding yourself. Somebody else is feeding you. You're literally completely hands-off. So the question is in that case, do you still have to while you're eating it or no? If you're eating it where someone's feeding you, maybe that's a whole different subcategory of eating. Maybe Bekahai Gavna, the Chacham never made the takana of Netilas Yadayim. Zok Demar Tashma, the Rav Huna Bar Schoira, Havikoi Kamid Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna Bar Schoira was once in front of Rav Amnuna. Bolam Le Umtza, and he prepared food for Rav Amnuna. He roasted a piece of meat, fed it him together with bread. Everything was eaten with bread. Va'ocho, and Rav Amnuna ate it. Amale. So Rav Huna Bar Schoira told Rav Amnuna, he loved Rav Amnuna. If not for the fact that you're the great Rav Amnuna, lo yisafino loch. I would never do this. I would never feed you. So my time, what went on here? What happened in this story? It sounds like he fed Rav Amnuna. See, if not for the fact you're Rav Amnuna, I would have never done this. So Gemara lav mishum this Rav Naga. Presumably because Rav Amnuna didn't wash his hands. And he was telling him that ordinarily, I would never feed someone who doesn't wash his hands because I'd be afraid that the person would touch the food. But you're Rav Amnuna, you're a Zor V'loi Naga. You're a Zoris, I'm not worried about you. I mean that I'm not worried about you, it's only you that I'm feeding. But the Gemara, so what does it sound like? The point is, it sounds like that ordinarily it's an issue. The Gemara says, well, the Zoris called him a mashi other main kara. Maybe what he meant to tell him was, is the reason I'm comfortable with you is because I know you're someone who definitely washed his hands. Meaning, had he known for sure he didn't wash his hands, he would not have done it, even though he's Rav Amnuna, because at the end of the day, it's not okay. So what did he mean when he told them, Ilav the Rav Amnuna at? I mean, it sounds like even though you're Rav Amnuna and you didn't wash your hands, I'm not concerned you're going to touch. It's just the opposite. Even though because you're Rav Amnuna, I know that you washed your hands, and that's the only reason I'm willing to do it. Because if you don't wash your hands, it's really not okay. Two ways to interpret that story. Tashmat, Omer Rav Zeira, Omer Rav. La'yitin Adam Prusa L'Teich Pivshal Shamas. This is an interesting halacha. Right? So one thing we've seen from learning a little bit of these halachas of Netilas Yadayim is that once upon a time, the meals were a lot more formal than the way they are today. So one of the formalities were there was a shamash. There was a waiter. So it says the Gemara, a person is not allowed to feed the shamish. Elam ken yodeya boy shenot al yod. Unless he knows that the shamish, the waiter, washed his hands. You can't just put food in his mouth. You have to know that he washed his hands, which of course is going to be the punchline as it relates to what we need. But first, the Gemara is going to digress a little bit. Vashamish mevarech al kol kos v'kos. A shamish who drinks during a meal has to make a bracha for every glass of wine that he drinks. So ordinarily, if you're going to have 3 glasses of wine at a meal, you don't have to make 3 bayir priyag offense. Make 1 bayir priyag offense. But the shamish, if he has 3 glasses of wine, he has to make 3 bayir priyag offense. And additionally, the ene mevarech al kol pruso pruso. But as it relates to the bread that he eats, he doesn't make a special amoitzi for every piece of bread. So he has to make a special hagafim for every glass of wine. He doesn't make a special amoitzi for every piece of bread. No, he has to make a special bracha for every piece of bread that he eats as well. Now, at first glance, what's Pashm Shan in the Salacha? Why would the Shamish have to make a special bayir priyag of every glass of wine? And why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, would he also have to make a amoitzi of every piece of bread he eats? The answer is very simple. When a person makes a bayir priyag of on a glass of wine, the reason he doesn't have to make a brach on the next glass is because the brach that he made on this works for that. When he ate this, he didn't necessarily have in mind that he was going to drink another glass of wine. Even if he didn't have kavana for it, but you know, he's sitting at a meal, you know that the wine is flowing, you're going to drink whatever, you know, you drink. But the point is that there's this implied das and kavana that works for everything that you're going to eat during the meal. But that's because you're a guest at the meal and you can eat whatever you want. The shamish, however, is at the mercy of his host. And as a result, anything that he's given to eat, right? He's very thankful for, and he doesn't assume that, you know, he's going to get any more. So as a result, as it relates to the shamish, he has to make a special brach of every glass of wine, because for every single glass of wine that he drinks, there's an assumption that there was never kavana, there was never das for that, and as a result, it requires its own bracha. As it relates to the bread, however, there it's a machloikis. There, Rav Zeira said in the name of Rav, Einem mevarech al kol prusa prusa. Rav Yoichanan said, mevarech al kol prusa prusa. So, Pashut, it sounds like it's just a question of how things were once upon a time. You have to understand sociologically what it was once like. It sounds like for a glass of wine, it wasn't understood that the shamish could drink as much as he wants. But bread he could. But there's a machlokes, it sounds like, for sure, between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. But the Gemara sounds like this. Amar Papa, Vishlami the Rav, Ud Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Kasha. It's not a kasha, meaning, could be there's no machlokes. Hadi ik adam chashiv, vahadalek adam chashiv. So the Rishonim say different pshatim of what this means. One pshat that the Rishonim say is that when there was an adam chashiv at the meal, so a lot of food was prepared. So it could be when Rav said that the shamash is enim mevarech al kol prusa uprusa. He's talking about when there was an adam chashiv at the meal. Being that there was so much bread, so it was understood that the shamash is going to be allowed to eat as much bread as he wants. Rabbi Yochanan said mevarech al kol prusa uprusa. He's talking about when there was no adam chashiv. Being that there was no adam chashiv, so as a result, he can't just go ahead. It's like wine. You have to assume that there's not that much bread here. So if the Baal Bais gives you some bread, that's that. But the point is, there's a way to get out and a say that there's really no machlokes between Rabbi Yechon. Okay, but what do we need? What's it to do with us? We're not learning those halachas now. Well, we're not learning Hilchas Brachas. We're learning Hilchas Atilas Sinai. And what we need is Mikomokim. Mikomelim ken yodesh and atoyadav. That when you feed the Shabbos, sounds like he was fed. You had to make sure that the Shamash washed his hands. He's not touching the bread. You're only feeding him. So you say meres. You see from it that even when you feed someone, that person needs to wash his hands. But the Gemara says, could be it's not a raya, shani shamash the tart. It could be ordinarily we trust the person that's eating, as long as he's not touching the food and you're feeding him, that he's not going to touch the food. We're not concerned, shomen naga. But the Shamash is different because the Shamash is busy. He has a job to do. So because he's busy, he's tarted, he may not be careful to not touch the food. So it could be the Shamash is different. On that note, the Gemara says, I'm a furish of rice. Shamish, a person should not give food to the Shamish. Bein shakos biyadei, whether the Shamish is holding a glass of wine, bein shakos b'adei shbal bayis, or the Baal Bayis is holding a glass of wine. Shemi yere dover kalkol basuda, because we're concerned that something bad may happen during the meal. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi plays out a few different scenarios of what might happen. One scenario is the Baal Bayis is going to see you feeding the Shamish. He's going to get very worried. He doesn't have enough food. So if he's holding a glass of wine, when he sees that, he may drop the glass and, you know, use your imagination. But either way, the Shamish, not the Yodim. And then the Bryce concludes and says that a Shamish didn't wash his hands. Also, lead the bruise of the Echbib. You're not allowed to put food in his mouth. So again, it would seem to be a Mefurish of Bryce that as it relates to the Shamish al Kopanim, also lead the bruise of the Echbib. But the Gemara was very Deich. The Gemara said that it could be the Shamish is not a riot to a regular person. Shamish is torrid. So, mean that he's torrid, even though you're feeding him, we're concerned he may touch the bread. But maybe a regular person, you wouldn't have to be concerned. Another Shalih. If somebody's feeding somebody else, the feeder. So till now we're talking about the eater. The person who's eating, someone else is feeding him. So the person who's eating, if he's not eating on his own, but somebody's feeding him, does he have to wash his hands? What about in the reverse? What if somebody's feeding somebody else, the one that's feeding the food, does he have to wash his hands? So the Gemara Toshma, the Tanit Bei Menash, Rav Shimon Gamliel Loimer, Isha Medichas Yoda Achas B'Mayim, V'Neisenes P'nas L'Knot. This is a Gemara Mesechtes Yuma, and it discusses halacha that's Nogei Yom Kippur, a woman who's feeding her child on Yom Kippur. So the halacha is she should wash one hand, and use the one hand that she washed to feed her child. Ordinarily, you're not allowed to wash your hands on Yom Kippur. But to feed a child, then it's okay. Amru all about Shami Yazakin. It said regarding Shami Yazakin, that he did not want to feed his child even with one hand, because he didn't want to wash the one hand. V'gazru olav, and his chaverim came, and they were geizer sheyachal b'shtei yadav, that he should wash both of his hands, and that he should feed his child. Amru Abaya, but what do you see from here? It sounds like, or what does it sound like? That if you're going to feed somebody, you have to wash your hands. Because if there's no halacha that you have to wash your hands, if you're going to feed somebody, then what's the problem? Then why are we even having this conversation? So the idea that Rav Shimon Gamliel used to wash, or said that a woman's allowed to wash one of her hands on Yom Kippur, and the story with Shami Yazakin, doesn't that suggest, doesn't it presuppose that there's an idea of Netilah Sinaim if you're going to feed somebody? But the Gemara says, Amar Abaya Hasam Mishum Shifta. Could be that's a whole different halacha. Could be that has nothing to do with the regular halacha. The halacha of Netilah Sinaim is you can come out of the shower, out of the mikvah, you can sit down now, you're going to eat bread, you have to wash your hands. There's something called a mitzvah of Netilah Sinaim. That had nothing to do with the mitzvah of Netilah Sinaim. It could be the mitzvah of Netilah Sinaim is related to eating. If you're feeding somebody, you for sure don't have to wash the Netilas Adayim. There we were talking about Yom Kippur when you don't wash your hands at all. So being that you don't wash your hands at all, we're worried about the Ruach Ra called Shifta. That's what Shifta means. Shifta is the name of a Ruach Ra. The Gemara Masechtas Yuma refers to it as the Mazik called Bas Melech. So that's two names. Shifta and Bas Melech. But the point is, we're worried about this Ruach Ra, that shayr on a person's hands when he wakes up in the morning. And if he's not going to wash his hands, Negel Vasser, he's going to have Shifta on his hand. So this is more about the Ruach Ra Shifta, because it's Yom Kippur and you didn't wash your hands, period. This is not related to the Chayvas Netilas Yadayim. That's the Chamu Masechim Mishum Sri. Nisrach Truma. Either way, the Gemara says one final note. Tashma, interesting story. The Avu the Shmuel, asked Yichid the Shmuel to Gabachi. Avu the Shmuel, that was Shmuel's father, once saw his son Shmuel crying. Amalez, he told him, my Gabachis, Shmuel, why are you crying? So he told him, the Machin Rabbi, my father hit me. Am I? So Shmuel's father said, not my father, I'm sorry, my Rebbe. He says, my Rebbe hit me. So he said, why did your Rebbe hit you? Am Ali. Because he told me, he's very upset at me. It sounds like Shmuel was feeding the Rebbe's son bread, and he did not wash his hands. And he was upset at him. He said, why didn't you wash your hands? Don't you know you have to wash your hands before you hit bread? And he chapped a fras. So Shmuel's father asked Shmuel, why didn't you taka wash your hands? So he told him, who achel vanomashina? He says, he's eating. Why should I wash my hands? He said, I was only feeding him. I wasn't eating. I know, I would never eat without washing my hands. But Shmuel said, I was feeding him. Right? Who achel vanomashina? So Shmuel's father said, loy mistaya dolagomer mimcha nami machi. He said, it's not enough that your Rebbe doesn't teach you halachas. I mean, Shmuel was right. And apparently Shmuel, he didn't know the halacha. So he says, it's not enough that the Rebbe doesn't know the halacha, but he hits you also. So it's one thing if he hits you for something that you should have known, where he knew it. But here, the Rebbe's an Amoritz, and he hits you. That was Shmuel's comment. Either way, it's interesting. Shmuel told that to his son. Avud Shmuel told it to his son. The Hilchasa says, the Gemara, Eichel Machmas, Michael, Tzarech, 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 if somebody's eating, even though somebody else is feeding him, he has to wash his hands. Michael, however, the feeder himself, in Tzarech, 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 he does not have to wash his hands. It's just a few, just very short, straightforward halacha l'maisa as it relates to Netilas Yadayim. So we started the daf with halacha noitel adam eshte yad of shachris umas na'aleim kolayim kuloi. Rav said that a person could wash his hands in the morning and he can make a tenai. He can say that I want this Netilas Yadayim to work for the entire day. So he washes his hands in the morning. He says, I don't know if I'm going to get around to washing my hands for breakfast and then for lunch and for this and for that. So he can wash his hands once in the morning and he can make it tonight. The fine print, however, is Rashi says, just to make sure that he doesn't get his hands dirty and he's careful with his hands. But as long as he's careful with his hands, that's going to work. Tosfos and all the Rishonim ask a bumbakasha. They all ask from a halacha that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in a Rechayim Simin Kuf Samachvav. It's a halacha that everybody knows. Chaber says, "Uboisif echad yesh oimim she ain't tzarich milahavsik bein etilu lamoitzi." Some say she ain't tzarich lizar milahavsik. They don't have to be careful not to be mafsik to make a hafsik between when you wash your hands and you make a moitzi. But the yesh oimim she tzarich lizar. No, you do have to be careful. You can't make a hafsik. No, right between when you wash your hands for bread and you actually make the hamoitzi. V'toyv lizar, and you're supposed to be careful. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's a very tais an older Rishonim Akasha. Then I don't understand. How do these two halachas stem? Here you have Rav's halacha. You can wake up in the morning and you go wash your hands. You wash your hands anyways when you wake up in the morning. Egalas and you make a tenai. I want this to work for lunch. It works. Rav says you can do it like a katchila. And here we have a halacha that says that takeif l'netila hamoitzi, that you're not even allowed to be mafsik between when you wash your hands and you bench your waist. It sounds like unless you're going to go nu the whole day, Rav's eitz is not going to work. But Rav seemed to say, no, it's fine. Just be careful. Just wash your hands. Wash your hands. But as long as you do that, wear gloves. Then you're going to be fine. It doesn't sound like it's going to be an issue. And the emes is, it's a pella, because this halacha of Rav is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber paskins Rav's halacha. The Mechaber says, "Noitel adam yad of shachris." This is an Erechaim Simon Kuf Sabmich Dalitz of Katan Aleph. A person can wash his hands in the morning. Umas naleim kol ayoyim afilu sheloy b'shas atchak. This is not just a shas atchak. This is something you could do the katchila. So the question is, "Umavachle yasich daitemem." And as long as you're careful. So what's going on over here? You have halacha of noitel adam yad of shachris umas naleim kol ayoyim. That's an Erechaim Simon Kuf Sabmich Dalit. And an Erechaim Simon Kuf Sabmich Aleph Vav Yesh Oimrim Shatzorich Lizoher. What? Mila hafsik bein netila la moitzi v'toyv lizar. All the Rishonim ask the kasha. Tois says a few terutzim to the kasha, but just to say over one teretz that Rabbeinu Yoin and other Rishonim say, and that is a very important lumnus in this halacha, and that is that there's a fundamental difference between washing your hands in the morning and making a tenai that the netilas yadayin should work for the entire day, and what we do, which is we wash our hands before we make our moitzi. When we wash our hands before we make our moitzi, we're being mekayim a mitzvah. the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. It's a mitzvah Rabbanon. It's not a mitzvah Deiraisa. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Arach holds as a concept of a Deiraisa, a mitzvah Lishmaya, Divri Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. But the Pashtus is Netilas Yadayim is a mitzvah. That's why we make a bracha. Shekhti Dishonim, Mitzvah of Tzivanu, Al Netilas Yadayim, it's a brachas HaMitzvahs, because we'll be Mekayim a mitzvah. Will be Mekayim a mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. And when you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha. Incidentally, the Rambam asks Akasha, how come you don't make a bracha when you wash my machroinim? I mean, my Rishonim and my machroinim, they're both Dine de Rabbanon, it sounds like. So if you hold there's no my machroinim bizmanazah, but the Rambam Shita we spoke at yesterday is there is my machroinim bizmanazah. So if that's the case, why don't you make a bracha? And the Rambam in two places in Hilchas Bracha, it's very gishmak, says it in Perek Vav, he says it in Perek Yud Aleph, says that being the whole purpose of my machroinim is mishum asakana, it was because Melach Sedoinis, you don't make a bracha when you do something mipnei asakana. So if you're doing a mitzvah for the sake of doing the mitzvah, then you make a brachas on mitzvahs. But if the whole purpose of the mitzvah that you're doing is mipnei asakana, to prevent something dangerous from happening, in that instance, you don't make a bracha. The achroinim ask a kasha, there's a mechas chenuch. What about mako? That's the big kasha that everyone asks on the rabbi. The charoises. Why don't you make a bracha on charoises? So the Netziv says in his mishnah that you know why you don't make a bracha on charoises? Because it's all mipnei asakana. And any mitzvah that you're doing mipnei asakana, you don't make a bracha. That's why you don't make a bracha on my achroinim. But really, it's a mitzvah. Being that it's a mitzvah, you're supposed to make a bracha. So say the Rishon, Rabbeinu Yoin, and others, that when you wash your hands before you make your hamotzi, you're sitting down to eat bread, you're mekayim a mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. And the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim requires that you wash your hands immediately before you eat bread. So much so that if there's going to be a hefsek, it's going to be a problem. You're not going to be mekayim your mitzvah. Take of the Netilas Yadayim HaMoitzi. When Rav said a halacha, you could wash your hands in the morning and you can make a tanai, it's gishmak, and you could be yotz with a tanai, he didn't mean that you're mekayim the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim in the morning for the sandwich that you're going to eat for lunch. Of course not. For that, it has to be right before you eat. For that, there's halacha of take of Netilas Yadayim. So what did he mean? He meant to say, what's the whole yisoid of the chi of Netilas Yadayim? Because Yadayim Maskoni Yosem and Stam Yadayim Ashniya Sultumah. That's what the Chacham HaMagoyzer. So said Rab, why are Yadayim Shnius Latoma? Because people are not careful with their hands. So he said, if you wake up in the morning and you wash your hands and you're careful during the course of the day, like Rashi says, so then we can assume that your hands are not tummy. If your hands are not tummy, you can eat bread. You know why? Not because you wash Netilas Yadayim, but because you have no chiyuv to wash Netilas Yadayim. So Rav's halacha that a person can make a tanai in the morning and wash his hands is true, but not together. I'll be mekayim my mitzvah Netilas Yadayim with the Netilas Yadayim that I do in the morning. It's together. I won't have a chiv Netilas Yadayim when the time comes for me to eat bread, because the whole chiv is predicated on a metzius, on a reality. The reality is that my hands are tameh. They're only tameh because I didn't wash them and I wasn't careful. No, wash your hands and be careful. If you do that, you won't have a chiv Netilas Yadayim. So if I have no chiv, nothing to do with hefsek. Hefsek is devart if I want to be mekayim the mitzvah. Be mekayim the mitzvah, I have to wash my hands right before I eat. If I don't do it right before, if there's a hefsek, right? The Ramah says, we spoke this out not so long ago, the Ramah says, Mesachtes Menachas, we talked about this, that the Ramah is Kedei Hilo Chaf Bezama. That's what the Shir hefsek is. Learned out from the Mitzayro, Charnik. But the point is, the Matan Behoinus, Bia Bemix, the Shmavia. But this is what it's, but the point, Taisin Zvachan, but the point is that that's all with regards to if you want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. If you want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, it has to be taken right before you eat the bread. Rav Zalacha, in fact, had nothing to do with being Mekayim the Mitzvah, just a very geshmak is that. That's the first ta'ara. The second ta'ara is we mentioned halachos as it relates to the shir. So we said that there's Amar Rava, klisha ein by revius ein noid b'menel yadayim. And then Rava said, klisha ein machzik revius ein noid b'menel yadayim. The Gemara held it was a contradiction, and the Gemara came out very simple, that if you're going to wash your hands, you have to have a revius. Stating that, the shirayim of the revius has a chashivus, so if somebody else wants to use your shirayim, he can go ahead and wash his hands. So there's a lot of halacha l'maisa. Let's just focus on one. So the ikur shir of netilas yadayim is a revius. And this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and this is in Aruch Chaim. It's in Simen Kuf Nun Ches. Actually, it's in Tzorech Li Zohe. It's in Kuf Samach. Kuf Samach, so cut your gimel. A lot of halachas is there. Tzorech Shehei B'mayim Revius. You have to make sure that you have a revius of mayim. So that's a shir, that you have to make sure that you have a revius of mayim inside your Negel Vasa, inside your cup that you're using, just to make a moitzi. You have to make sure of your revius. If you don't have a revius, it's not going to be okay. The stating that, the Mishnah Berurah speaks out, he says, that the chol zeh b'mokoyim she'ein mayim mitzuyim. this that we say, use a revius, and that, by the way, the second person can use the shirayim of the revius, we have an argamar, that's also brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that's only something that you should rely on when you don't have that much water. But if you have a lot of water, you should do it b'shefa. So what does b'shefa mean? What's simen kuf nun ches of cotton yod? So if you take a look at that halacha, the chabad says like this: afal pisha shiur b'revius. Even though the shina tilos adayim is revius, says the Rama pirish revius halug dahinu shir bay of a chetzi. What is that? So ayin raid bites. Either way, Yosef, but at the same time, says the Shulchan Aruch, lito b'shefa. There's an idea, the katchila you should take b'shefa. The Omer Rav Chizda, because Rav Chizda said in Shabbos Amich Beis, anom mashoim leichofti maya, I used to use a lot of water when I washed until it's edayim, v'yohavuli meleichofti tivusa. And because of that, he became a big gvir. Rav Chizda, k'yodua, was a tremendous gvir. Rav Chizda was toyre v'gdula b'makim echad, right? In fact, the Gemara says in my Katan Chav Chesem and Aleph, that Rava used to, said that he used to daven for three things. One of the things he used to daven for is that he should be a gvir like Rav Chizda. Rav ended up marrying Rav Chizda's daughter. But either way, so maybe that tefillah was answered. But the point is that Rav said he used to daven to be a gvir like Rav Chizda. He married Bas Rav Chizda, right? That's what Rav used to refer to his wife as Bas Rav Chizda. But regardless, this is what Rav Chizda said. So he said, why did you become a gvir? He said, I used to use a lot of water for netilas yadayim. He says, that's how he became a big gvir. But the truth is, there's another Gemara. The rest of the story. There's a Gemara v'sach this psachim daf kuf yud gimel amir aleph. Amar Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, "Iloy deramoy shichra." Where if not for the fact that I owned a brewery, I was in the beer business. Lo yatri, I would have became a gvir. So apparently, the skula Rav Chizda mentioned in Shabbos daf samach beis was only one part of the equation. There was another part of the equation. Rav Chizda had a very successful business, and that's how he became a gvir too. I don't think it's a steer. But either way, regardless. So this is where Rav Chizda said. It's interesting. If you look at the halacha right before that, in Simen Kuf Nun Ches of Katan Tes, the Mechaber said, Sorek Lizor Ben Atilos Yedai, Shekala Mezalzo Ben Atilos Yedai, Chay Ben Nidoi, Uboli Dei Anios Ven Ekumen Oil. So it's interesting that Atilos Yedai is somehow associated with Ashiros and Anios. So says the Mishnah Berurah that even though the Shir is revered, and there's halacha of Shiari revered, the second person could use the Shirai even if it's Bachas Mirvias. But this is only Ikra Adin. But as it relates to the Skula, the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Kuf Samach sends you to Simen Kuf Nun Ches of Katan Yud, where Rav Chizda said that he became a Gvir. Why? Anom Mashoi Melechofni Maya. V'yohavali Melechofni Tivusa. So either way, says the Mishnah Berurah, for sure, Lekatchila, you should try to use a lot of water. And of course, yesterday we mentioned the Bir Halacha. What was the halacha we mentioned yesterday? Also very important. That's in the end of Kuf Samach Aleph. So we're jumping from Kuf Samach to Kuf Nun Ches to Kuf Samach Aleph. But the last bir halacha in Sin Kuf Samach Aleph says that being that this machlokes is poskim, how much of your hands you have to wash. According to Rashi Shita, which is the second day in Shulchan Aruch, it's up until the second joint, it's up until your knuckles. According to the Shita Sarif, which is the Iker Shita, it's up until your wrist. So you have to wash up until your wrist. So it says the Bir Halacha that even though you can use a revius, but you have to make sure that the revius is going to match your hands and that you're going to be able to wash your entire hand with the revius. But in the event that it's not going to work out, then you have another problem, right? The da oy says the Bir Halacha, the kayoim shenoya gin ha'olam kidei rishoyno lita kolayat, to wash your entire hand. Mam ba'oy toiv lizor shaloy letzamtzem b'shir mayim el yitlena b'shefa dem yitzamtzem rak yishir revius olul ma'oy che yishar chelik mi'ayad b'lina tila v'tzorech lashpia har be'alza v'tzorech lashkia har be'alza. So again, mi'ikar adin, it's a revius, but at the same time, we have two reasons to use more than a revius. Number one, you have Kuf Nun Ches, Sifkot Yud, Rav Chizda's Memra Shabbos, Daf Samach Beis, that washing Netilas Yedayim B'Shefa is a school of Ashirus, for sure, a good reason. And number two, you have the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha says that Mi'ikar Adin, being that we're Noyeg Lahachmer, that you wash your hands up until your wrist, so just to make sure you get your whole wrist, that's also a reason to get the revius. What about Mayim Achroinim? Is there a Shir for Mayim Achroinim? What about, until now we're talking about Mayim Rishonim. So Mayim Rishonim, okay, revius, l'katchila more than a revius. What about as it relates to Mayim Achronim? So the truth is, not a Mefurash Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Stating that, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Yosef, who quotes from a sefer called Shulchan Shal Arba. That's the name of the sefer. So the Mishnah Berurah is in Hilchos Mayim Achronim, which is in Simen Kuf pei aleph sivkot and yud tes. Kosev abeis yosef b'shem sefer shulchan shalar. V'chein hevi b'el yurab b'shem akol. Demayim achreinim ain't trichin shir. You don't have to have a shir. Elvish yehei ben kidei ladiach ben esyodav. As long as there's enough water to wash your hands, whatever you need to do, and your mustache, exactly, that's okay. U'besefer maiser rab hevi d'hanogas agro hisav revis. And the maiser rab they bring that the vilna goyen used to use a revis. So we have a maiser rab. The maiser rab is in ois pei dalet. And it's brought that Mayim Achroinim Chayfa. This is all from the Vilna Goyim, right? The Maaser Rav is the Hanhogos of the Vilna Goyim. So the Vilna Goyim held the Mayim Achroinim is a Chayf. Umitzvah k'moy Mayim Rishoyim. There's always nuances, and you have to be medayik l'shoynei hazov. So a Maaser Rav, it's a mitzvah like Mayim Rishoyim. So the Vilna Goyim held like Kuf Pei Aleph of cotton. Aleph, which is the Shittas HaRambam and the Shittas HaRif, that is the Mayim Achroinim, even today that we don't have Melach Sodoimus, not Shmatzui and Shriya. It doesn't matter. Still, Mayim Achroinim is a Chayva. It's a mitzvah just like Mayim Arishoinim. And then the Goyen said, V'lo Yivchais mi Revias u'betoich HaKlei. It should be done from a Keli, and it shouldn't be done with Pachas mi Revias. So one of the Talmidei Agra said, what's the pshat in the Gro? Where do you find that? Where do you see that it should be done? So if he held that it's Kemoy Mayim Arishoinim, so maybe it's related to that. There's a Kemoy Mayim Arishoinim that seems to be permeating this very short gra in Maisara. But they bring very gishmak, because we had a Gemara in Daf Kofei, we learned this Gemara 2 days ago, where the Gemara discussed different differences between Mayim Arishoinim and Mayim Achroinim. One's a mitzvah, the other one is a chayva. Here you can wash even on top of karka, here you can't wash on top of karka. So there were a few nuances that were discussed in the Gemara, differences between Mayim Arishoinim and Mayim Achroinim, and it didn't mention anything about the shear. So it's a little bit mashma that the shear is the same for Mayim Arishoinim and Mayim Achroinim, and the gro held k'moy Mayim Arishoinim, that they're one and the same. So if there's a shear revias, so that's not the Ikra Adin. The Ikra Adin is Kosev Abis Yosef v'sem Shulchan Shal Arba v'chein Hevi Bel Yurabe v'sem HaKol Boy the Mayim Achroinim ain't Trichan Shear, stating that the Hanhogas HaGro, the Minig of the Vilna Goyen, was to use a revias. Just one final halacha we saw at the end of the daf where the Gemara talked about, if you're feeding somebody, do you have to wash your hands? So the Gemara said that you don't have to wash your hands. I think the Gemara, there was a story, or there's a halacha, there are a Gamliel Paskin, that a woman who's feeding her child on Yom Kippur should wash at least one hand before she feeds her child. So the Gemara said it had nothing to do with washing your hands, it has nothing to do with the Srach Truma, with the halachas of the Tilos Yedayim. That's related more to a Ruach Ra that shoylet on a person's hands when he wakes up in the morning. It's the Ruach Ra called Shifta. So it's really based on the Ruach Ros. It's a very important Toisvus. This Toisvus is also Masechtas Yuma, but it's just Kedai to acknowledge the Toisvus. It's also in Yuma Ayin Zayin Amad Beis, where Toisvus says the last four lines of the second Toisvus on Kuf Zayin Amad Beis. People are not careful today when it comes to not feeding a child without washing their hands. Because we don't have today the Ruach Ros called Shifta. We don't Melech Sadoimus. We don't have a lot of these halachas. We don't have this Ruach Ros called Shifta. And then Toisvus throws in, just like we're not nizer today, Allah Zugois. So what's Zugos? Zugos is something that the Gemara discusses in Perek Arvei Psachim, that once upon a time it was considered dangerous to do things in pairs. So you don't want to have 2 glasses of wine, you'd have 3 glasses, right? The Gemara asks, Akasha, how could you have Dalet Kosis below Pesach? What happened to Zugos? Gemara says it's Lal Shimur and Amazikin, so you don't have to worry about it. But really, you don't want to do anything in pairs. There was a concept called Zugos. So you have a Toisvus over here, it's in 2 places in Shas, where Toisvus says that you don't have to worry about Zugos Bizman Azeh, because Zugos, that the Mazik that's affiliated with Zugos is Loishchiach. And then he throws in Mayim Megulim. All the Sugis of Mashkim Megulim that came up in Avodah Zarah and Echulin, this comes up over and over and over again. Chamiras Akantim Eisura, right? The Sugis of Megulim are considered Mohammed. There's no Bittul when it comes to Megulim. You have Bittul in a Taruvus when it comes to ordinary Isra Hatta, because Megulim is Mohammed. When it comes to Megulim, incidentally, even the Poiskim that all, we always speak out the Taz in the beginning of Kuf Tazai, whether there's Bittul Bashishim when it comes to Adavash Al Sakana. Even the Poiskim that hold that there's but it's mefurish in the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch. It's mefurish that when it comes to Megulim, it's more chamer. So Megulim is more chamer than regular sakana. There, the halacha is you can have this massive barrel. If it was left open overnight, and there's a chashash that a nachash might have been matal a little bit of eris, even though the amount of eris that he would have deposited into this is so bottle, it doesn't matter. Bittul does not work. even if you hold it works for sakana, but not for megulim. That's mefurish in the Taz in the beginning of Siman Kuf Tezai. But regardless, it's not noyik b'zman hazeh, says Tosfos, because today we don't have shifta, today we don't have zugais, today we don't have giloy. Now, of course, the Vilna Gaon was very makbid, because Ketuvah brings in the beginning of Tezai. The Vilna Gaon was very makbid when it came to mashkin megulim, even b'zman hazeh. The stories with the Vilna Gaon. The question is, was he also makbid on zugais? Was he also makbid on shifta? Right? Because why was the guy makbid on? Why was he makbid on megulim? So, Pashup Shad is because the guy used to say that in everything that the Chachamim said is aser, there's the tama nigla and there's the tama nister. See, even if it's batal the tama nigla, achshav she'en nechashim mitzuyim beinenu. See, even though the tama nigla is batal, but the tama nister may be prevalent. So, based on that, what should be the difference between megulim or zugais? Or shifta, right? People shtel to the Vilna Gaon, even to the like areas of Chalav Stam, different machalos asuris. Even though maybe the tam is bottle, I mean, Rav Moshe held that you have re'iyah, but without all the lumdus of Chalav Stam. But the point is you're going to say bottle hatam. You have this Vilna Gaon, right? We have this Vilna Gaon who said that even if it's bottle hatam, that's the tam nikla that's bottle. What about the tam nistar? So here you have a toisus that throws zugais and megulim and shifta altogether. So if someone's makbid on the gra as it relates to megulim, does he also have to be makbid on zugas? Something to think about. Either way, the Gemara tomorrow is going to return to the primary sugis in Perakol HaBasar, and then is the halachos of basar chalav.